WHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in our seven-county listening area in central Iowa. I'm one of your hosts for today, Susan Franzen, together with my co-host Paul Wearson. Hello, Paul.
Well, hello, Susan, and today we're back into normal mode. We have Leanne Harder is here with the monthly Story County Report. So welcome, Leanne. What's happening in the county?
Good morning. I might have answered to Harper, too, because that's my dog's name.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I stumbled onto the truth.
Harper May Harder. I want to start with a couple messages from Story County Veterans Affairs. And one is really, I'm going to read because it's in the form of a letter. Dear Story County Veterans, if you need help getting your home ready for winter, because we do know it's coming, you can call 515-268-5323 and talk with Story County Volunteer Services, and they can help you out. Also, veterans out there, put it on your to-do list this winter to call the VA to make an appointment so they can tell you all about the VA benefits you are not receiving. Then we will help you file for them. And you can call 515-956-2625 or 515-956-2626. And Story County Veterans Affairs says, Happy Holidays. Then they also have a really great opportunity for all veterans in Story County. They are hosting a flu shot clinic. And a lot of us still, well, not me, I've gotten my flu shot, but a lot of people have not yet gotten their flu shot, and we're coming upon that season. Mm-hmm. VA Central Iowa Healthcare System will be in Story County to give out free flu and pneumonia vaccines, to do basic health screenings, and give out some information about VA eligibility, telehealth, whole health, and more. So lots of programs through the VA. That is coming up soon on January 7th, in 2019, from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's going to be held at the Story County Human Services Center, which is located at 126 South Kellogg. You go to the second floor to Suite 200. There'll be signage. There's a conference room back there. So two opportunities and messages from Story County Veterans Affairs. And then from Community Services for Story County, they're inviting everyone to the third Community Conversations event. It's sponsored by the Story County Opioid Task Force. It will be held January 10th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. This third and the conversation focuses on how to access treatment and the civil commitment process. It's held at the Mary Greeley Medical Center in the Bessie Meyer Auditorium, and that's at 1111 Duff Avenue. Again, January 10th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Those conversations have been pretty powerful. So a great opportunity. Story County Board of Supervisors is inviting individuals interested in serving on the Planning and Zoning Commission to submit their application. We have another vacancy. It's an unexpired vacancy. It fills a remainder of a term for 2 years, and it expires on December 31st, 2020. Just some things about the Planning and Zoning Commission. It's a 7-member commission, all appointed by the Board of Supervisors. They have to be residents of Story County, with the majority of members living in unincorporated areas of the county. In this particular vacancy, there's not a residency requirement for inside city or outside city. So we have the majority already, so anyone anywhere in Story County can apply. Meetings for the commission are held every month, the first Wednesday. They begin at 4 p.m. They're held in the Story County Administration Building at 900 6th Street in Nevada. The Planning and Zoning Commission is a recommending body to the Board of Supervisors. They talk about matters concerning rezoning, subdivisions, amendments to our C2C plan, and all meetings are open to the public. We're asking that applications be submitted by 5 o'clock p.m. on Thursday, March 2nd. So I'll probably mention this a couple more times before now and then. And you can click on our website, and I can get that information for the application. And the county recorder, Stacy Herridge, does want to remind everyone that TV, ORM, ORV, and snowmobile... ATV. I left off the A. And TV registrations, apparently. ATV, ORM, ORV, and snowmobile registrations are due at the end of this month. They will be renewals received after that date do incur a $5 penalty per vehicle. So if you have several of those, keep that in mind because that can add up pretty rapidly. In addition to the registration, all snowmobiles operated on public land must display a separate user permit. You can get that permit as well through the recorder's office. And there are also several vendors throughout Story County that do that. The county recorder's office is open daily, 8 to 5 p.m., Monday through Friday. And that gets me to our holiday closures, though, because they will not be open on December 24th and 25th. All of Story County offices will be closed those 2 days in observance of the holidays, as well as closing early on December 31st, 2 hours early. So don't wait until like 3 o'clock p.m. on December 31st to get your ATV or TV registrations done. With that, that's what I have for this month. Next month, I'm going to hit you with a load of stuff for what's going to be happening in 2019. But I do want to wish you both a happy holidays and safe travels if you're going anywhere. And thank you for the opportunity to come here every month and share our story.
Well, now I tell you what, Leanne, that's still a big, full report here. And we always enjoy having Leanne here every month. And I think to the theme of today's program is technology and how it affects Christmas and our lives in general. And you were involved heavily in technology about this. I think you had to record this big meeting we had for the Board of Supervisors. Tell us about that. That was the issue was hog confinements, I believe. There was a huge meeting. Tell us about that, how many people were there and what the complexities were technologically for you to record this meeting and make it available to everybody.
So what we do, that's a great question. What we do, and thank you for asking so I can and let people know what's available for them to watch. For the past 18 months or so, have actually used a simple home handheld video camera and videotaped all the Board of Supervisors meetings. And then what we do is we use kind of a standard video editing software, and we add the PowerPoint presentations if anyone gave them, because with one camera and we don't move it around, you only see the presenters and the Board of Supervisors. So we added those in so you can get a flavor of what everyone is seeing during the meeting. And then we upload them to our YouTube channel. You can get to our YouTube channel by going to Story County's website, which is storycountyiowa.gov, and then it's under Agendas and Minutes. You'll see a link to the audio, link to the video. It usually goes without a hitch. When we get to meetings that are 3 hours long like yesterday, it does take a delay to upload, render the video and everything. When you get to a video that's 6 hours long, like Tuesday, December 11th was, it took a lot of, I think our computers had a lot of heartburn, because I know we did, staff, trying to get uploaded. They're there. If you go to our YouTube channel, the December 11th meeting is there in two parts. We actually quit counting how many times we tried to successfully upload it, and I don't know. Maybe when it comes down to it, it was user error, too. I don't think it is, because I was not the one doing it. And I know the individual doing it knows it really well. I think it just was the sheer magnitude of not only was there a discussion of CAFOs on the agenda. Prior to that, on the agenda, there was a two-hour meeting on a rezoning west of Gilbert. And that presentation had 90-plus slides. And we actually hand manipulate them and put them in the presentation individually. So there's a lot of work that goes into it. So I appreciate people that were patient and waited while we got it out there. Unfortunately, we've not made that next step to stream live. The county does have a Facebook page, or several, in fact, and we can stream through YouTube. We run, as a building, it's called County Guest. That's our internal Wi-Fi for visitors. It's depending on how many people are in that building at any one time. And the discussions are still underway. How do we lock down that access to Wi-Fi that many pull from for essential county services during that 10 o'clock on time frame on Tuesdays and get it streamed out live? Now, during the meeting, it was an explosion of good events because someone was able to actually stream live throughout the entire meeting. And I was so surprised that they succeeded in doing that. We've played around, even trying to last like 10 minutes. Usually there are people down in the treasurer's office trying to get something to get to a new license plate, so we have to be kicked off. But that's a conversation that we'll have with the board come 2019 on where do we go with our audio and visual, the next step. We have a lot coming at us in technology and how it plays in the county government. It's a wonderful way to get our message out there and get people involved. But it's also, there's a lot to be said to taking the time and going to a meeting too, which in our lives and busy schedules, sometimes 10 o'clock in the morning is difficult when you work. But we try and get the information out there as best as we can. Yesterday was a 3-hour meeting, and when I left yesterday, the video was still rendering. So technology can be that double-edged sword.
Yeah, the technology, that's our theme of our program, how it's affected how we celebrate the holidays, how it's affected our daily lives. And you have really gone through it with this special meeting that was held, and it was a controversial subject and a lengthy meeting. And you've just described all you went through to make that available. Now, that's available on the website now.
It's on our YouTube channel, which you can get a link to through our website, through storycountyiowa.gov.
So the key thing always is your website.
Yeah.
What you report to us every month, all the things that's new and updated, you can go to the website.
That's our resource for people when they have questions. I mean, it's there 24/7. I mean, if we, unfortunately, knock on wood, get to winter where we have to close, which is not very often, but if you have to do your business, a lot of times you can continue to do your personal business on the county's website, or at least get started.
So technology is our friend, like you pointed out, a twin-edged sword, because in assembling all this and making it available and constantly updating the website, that can really be work, but... Yeah. The bottom line is there's a lot available on that website, and that's the starting place because that links to this meeting and how to get there and how to hear it and see it. And so God bless technology. And, you know, I'm way behind. Leanne, compared to you, I'm the Model A, you know. So I am really impressed with what you did and what you went through, and it's a fine service. Leanne Harder. Her monthly report from Story County, and we thank you for being here. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you, and I hope you and your family can all gather together for the holiday.
Thank you. My best wishes to you as well.
Thank you very much, Leanne Harder, Story County, and she is a monthly feature here on our local talk show on Wednesdays, and we thank her for being here and look forward to all kinds of informative things as the new year of 2019 emerges. Thanks again, Leanne.
In case you just tuned in, this is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. This is Susan Franzen, one of your hosts for today, together with my co-host, Paul Wearson, who you've been hearing as he talked with Leanne Harder, who came in here to give her monthly report and a update on what's available on the Story County website.
Well, now, Susan, since it's the week before Christmas, we've talked about most of the holiday concerts. We've celebrated related festivals of lights, Hanukkah and Lucia, and we've done a lot of reminiscing about Christmases of our childhood. So what's left to talk about on Christmas here?
I know I'm thinking about something, and I bet it's true for many of our listeners. That's the last-minute rush of finding just the right present you couldn't find before, wrapping and mailing gifts, and that's just part of reaching out to family and friends. However I do it, it always feels hectic. And here at KHOI, there's a special kind of frenzy because we're so dependent on technology. Leanne's report made me aware of the gifts and downsides of technology. And there are many ways we run up against this at Christmas.
Well, now, that's one of the comforting things about radio, especially local radio like KHOI. All you need is a simple car radio or an old-fashioned radio in your house, right?
Well, that's the easiest way to listen, but it takes a lot more than that to get our programs to those who might want to hear them. And as I think about reaching out to family and friends, there are some people at KHOI who deserve our thanks and our special verbal Christmas cards. Also, our listeners might like to know of the different ways they can hear programs and share them with their friends. Cynthia McClure came into the station yesterday to give us some history. Cynthia McClure is with us this morning, and since we're talking about technology, she's fills a very, very special place in our technology here at KHOI, starting with before we were actually able to broadcast from our studio. Do you want to tell about that, Cynthia?
It was an open secret that in about the first 6 months, 9 months that we were on the air, we were running a flash drive crew up to the tower and back. And so we would have to pre-record everything that we would do for Local Talk and Heart of Iowa and take it up to the tower and upload it. And the crew that helped drive, at that time it was Rick Morrison, up to the tower over there by Story City to upload it a few times a day, like up to 4 to 6 times a day, because there would be variations on the things that would be uploaded. And it was 6-9 months that was going on before we had our tower to station link. And that was a complex set of operations to get going because of the topography of Ames. We're kind of in a, I wouldn't call it a ditch, but it's like a swampy little area, and there wasn't a direct tower link here to the station. So they had to go around and manage through many different avenues of technology to get an uplink to this, you know, to KHOI's Pantorium building.
And, of course, what was out there in that station house?
Our tower uplink was there. And it was basically when we go off the air here at the station in downtown Ames, the tower uplink will have wonderful automated jazz playing.
That's right. And we're going to be later talking with our current operations manager, successor to Rick Morrison.
Evan Taylor will give you the lowdown on how that works, so maybe a little bit if you're a technology buff. But it's interesting because radio itself is a medium that has been around for a long time.
But this is not just radio, and I'm going to start off by saying that. It's essential. We have to follow all the rules of the FCC for radio broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
But a great deal of what we do and even what makes our work possible is computer-related.
Oh, it's all computer-related. When I first started in radio, I worked with reel-to-reel, and we didn't have automation software or at least I didn't. I was working in a small radio station in Northern California, KIDE. It was in Hoopah. It was a tribal radio station, and it wasn't a 24-hour station. You had to have a person operating the record or the CD or the tape or the reel-to-reel or something. It was live, old-fashioned DJing that I did, and it was a lot of work. Now the automation that you work with, Susan, and I work with is all through the platform of a computer. And so it's ones and zeros. And if you can cut a piece of paper, and you can do the same thing with the automation software that we work with on Audacity. It's pretty smooth.
And no film on the floor.
No.
So that was how we got started.
Mm-hmm.
And
the technology here at the station was minimalistic, to say the least. It was very much kind of like a red and green show where we take things that weren't their original purpose and made do. And we had a lot of secondhand equipment to use, computers, everything. We didn't have the nice studio that we're broadcasting in right now. We had a tent. We had partitions in an open office setting. And then when we put a quilt over the top of that to dampen the sound.
At that time, I had gone over to a quilting workshop in Slater, and they were making quilts for the homeless. And the quilts that they were making were the kind that you tied yarn through the batting. And these were exactly the same
kind of quilts that we had on our on our studio.
Yeah,
you know, we were the homeless studio.
Well, it was a dream of many people, and through hard work and a lot of volunteers and persistence, we've created trust and we've created some experts in their field, like you, Susan. You're very good. You've been doing this for quite a few years now.
Yeah, well,
you know, you're retired, but this is a career for you.
And actually, I still get hung up on the technology every once in a while and make a mistake that I hear on the radio. And I know how that happened. I should know better than that, but that's part of what inspired this show. Because we upload all of our local talk shows, I'm aware that they can be heard any time after mm-hmm. they're uploaded permanently. And that is done by a wonderful guy named Gheorghe Chigladze. When the morning show is finished, I take it in and edit it on the free software that everybody in the station can have access to that.
It's a software program, I think, that was created in Spain originally, and it's Audacity.
But the reason that we post this on our website is because when we develop these programs, which are quite a bit of work, we want to make sure that the people who were on there can send it to their family and friends. And there's an easy way to do it if it's posted on our website. And so after we finish this and edit it for noon, then I contact
Gheorghe Chigladze,
who takes the uploaded audio and the picture that I send and the text and makes a little page on our website. And we have one for every local talk show back to the beginning. And you can search for that name.
So it's like a historical documentation of Central Iowa.
In a way, that's right. And so when you're thinking about your end of your contributions, and we have another wonderful piece of technology. You can go to our website. You can look for the yellow donate button. And the yellow donate button will also tell you how you can donate from your cell phone. On your cell phone, it's 515-200-7758.
And it does make a difference because all the monies donated are tax deductible at this end of the year. So whatever you do donate, it is, you know, it does go to a good cause. All of the monies go to operating expenses, keeps the lights on, keeps all of our bills paid. Thank you, Susan. You have a great Christmas and Happy New Year.
Well, and thank you, Cynthia, for being with us and supporting us in so many ways for such a long time. Really.
Always. Always. This place is great.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, this is KHOI Community Radio. We've just heard from one of our earliest KHOI volunteers, Cynthia McClure. Now, joining us in the studio is one of our newest members of the local talk team. That's Joy. Last week, Joy showed her appreciation of the people she'd met at KHOI by organizing a Christmas party for the producers who were only names to her. Now, we'll be welcoming Joy a little later.
Thank you for coming in today to give us a younger person's view of what technology means to KHOI and to the holiday season. But before we explore this topic further, I want to play a clip from the person who keeps many technical things going here, Evan Taylor, our operations manager. Evan is our one full-time employee, although it's 9 to 5, but he has a remote control at home, so he can sometimes solve problems from his house. And I don't think any of us knows the full variety of jobs he takes on. So I asked him to give me a 5-minute job description.
Hello there. This is Evan Taylor, and I'm the operations manager here at KHOI Community Radio. Susan Franzen asked me to sit down and tell the Local Talk listening audience a little bit more about how I use technology to keep KHOI broadcasting, as well as keep the KHOI archive filled with the latest episodes of your favorite shows. While the majority of our programming is produced right here in Central Iowa, we use nationally syndicated shows produced by and for community radio stations to fill in gaps in our schedule. This entails downloading the programs that we broadcast every week from our distribution website, and then processing those files so that they're ready to broadcast. For the most part, this is pretty simple and straightforward, involving nothing more than making the audio file itself a little bit louder or shortening it so that it fits within our automation schedule. But sometimes this task is a little bit more difficult and requires heavier editing. It just kind of varies on a show-by-show basis. Regardless, the audio file of each respective syndicated program ultimately finds itself in its own personal folder located on what we call the Zara computer. Zara, then, is actually the name of the software that we use as our automation system for broadcasts and the web stream. Ultimately, the basic purpose of Zara is to play audio files for us when we don't have anybody who is physically present in the broadcast studio. Its function is very similar to that of a personal calendar. In adherence to our schedule, certain files need to be played at certain times, and we tell the automation system where to find those files when that time comes. Occasionally, like when we make changes to our program schedule, or when we're airing special live coverage of important events, it becomes my task to go into Zara and teach the program the new schedule. When any given file is played on the automation system, the audio from that file is first sent to the soundboard within the studio, and then to two separate pieces of hardware, one of which sends it to be broadcast over the airwaves, and the other which sends it to our online Heart of Iowa archive. Ideally, having the right file, in the right place, at the right time, would be enough to keep KHY broadcasting. But, because there are so many variables involved in the process, things don't always go as planned. And it's precisely when the plan goes awry that I am looked to as KHY's troubleshooter-in-chief. Because I'm tasked with having a thorough knowledge of the various pieces of hardware and software KHY uses to broadcast and record, it is also my responsibility to determine quickly, calmly, and effectively where the problem is, how to fix the problem, and ultimately ensure that we're back on track and running programming according to schedule. While troubleshooting makes people a little bit uncomfortable and a little bit nervous sometimes, it's actually one of my favorite parts of my job, in spite of its unpredictable nature. What I really appreciate about troubleshooting, and what led to me embracing the process as a whole, is that every time I go through the process, I ultimately end up learning something new about the technology that I'm working with on a daily basis, or I think of new and more efficient ways we can use the technology we have to enhance the overall quality of our recordings and broadcasts. Truth be told, this is just the tip of the iceberg. My days at KHY revolve around working with all sorts of gadgets and gizmos that we have lying around the station. While it's tempting for me to go into even further detail, we would run the risk of me talking all day, and I'm sure your local talk hosts have more interesting content coming up next. If you'd like to learn more, swing by the station sometime. I'd be happy to chat with you about it. And maybe you could learn how to use it yourself by becoming a volunteer here at KHY.
This is KHY Community Radio, and you've been listening to a program devoted to learning more about how we deal with the changes technology brings to our hectic holiday season. We're bringing together some of the volunteers who've contributed to Local Talk this year, and our newest is our cheerful engineer, Aladdin. He's just a great guy. It's fun to see him every day. He's always in an up mood and so competent running the board that people like me can just sit here and talk. And he brings a fresh perspective from his perch behind the board. And then there's Joy B., who came to us last summer from Iowa City. She's done several outstanding segments and is co-hosted with Ursula Rudenberg. Now our third guest today is going to be Maggie Westfold, with her regular feature points to ponder. It's a favorite with Wednesday listeners. It's a favorite for me. Points to ponder. Maggie's coming up.
One of Joy's requests when she agreed to be on the show was that we make time for a song. Thank you. Joy, we wouldn't have had this song, which was so beautiful, and people now know to try to find Pink somewhere else. But you had also a poem that you brought in that I think really sums up our issues today.
Yes, I wrote a poem a few years ago at the University of Iowa, and it was published in their writing magazine. It's called Connected in an Unconnected World, and I wrote it as I rode the bus on several different buses in Iowa City and noticed each year how people were getting more and more disconnected. So here it goes. iPads, iPods, iPhones, Kindles, Nooks, Facebook, LinkedIn, email, Skype, Twitter, and texting. We are so connected, living in an unconnected world. I want to talk to you about important things, but you're too busy liking Facebook updates on your wall, uploading another daily altered pic of yourself, creeping a stranger's friend profile. I'm grasping my seat as you're texting another meaningless message on Twitter, zooming through another stop sign. You curse at the mother in the van full of children as the semi-truck swerves and sways to avoid hitting you with his double wide. So many exciting community events are happening that we're missing as you delete your masses of email, checked LinkedIn and Facebook notifications, a connection in an unconnected world. I want to hug you or even hold your hand. I want to have engaging face-to-face conversations. You shake your head as I speak, but you are listening or following on Twitter as you tweet a celebrity sending empty and meaningless details of a life to a person you may never know or meet. In reality, you gain pound after pound, sitting hour after hour lonely, but connecting through the moments in your unconnected world, texted and shared. You are reading another Nook book while you cook, burn dinners, smoke, and fire alarms now common. I want to, and I want you to, engage in possibilities of adventures and authenticity to connect to the daily realities of life with active in-person participation, to live life fully with those that you really care about before your family is lost, before the unused dinner table has cracked. Before you are so old that the empty coldness could resemble frost, I want to see your small earbuds connected, unconnecting me via iPod from your connected world of electronic devices as I walk out the door, no longer a child ignored, but an adult with a real voice.
Yeah. Very good. I like that.
Oh, thank you.
And I sign on to that entirely because, you know, my shadow on the internet is very small. I have a flip phone, you know, the old-fashioned flip phone, and I do my email and Facebook up at the library, so I have they do all my security and computer maintenance, and so I have a very low profile. But, you know, I am concerned, too, about our disconnectedness because it's such a real sort of strange thing here. You know, you've got this ultra-connectedness, which makes us more distant from each other, as you pointed out in your poem. And I really wonder about that in terms of our long-term existence and our relationships with people. And I'm really concerned about those who've grown up recently, who've known no other world but the digital world, and they're already bent over their... You know, I see 14-year-olds with a widow's hump. They're bent over their
That's
machine.
That's true.
And so, and it goes back to something that I was on the YMCA board years ago in the 70s, and we always had interesting speakers come in. This guy was from the Rand Corporation, and he talked about communication. And he says, we're part of the animal kingdom. Almost all our cues are visual when we communicate with each other. 90% of communication is visual. Only 10% is verbal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you look at verbal communication, like on the phone, and no one's on the phone anymore, you can pick up all kinds of cues, tone of voice, mood, and everything. If you only have written text, you're down to 3 or 5% of communication because you can't pick up any tonality, any mood, any real humanness in that text. And so our communication volume is going up, but the quality of communication and meaningfulness of communication is way down.
Mm-hmm.
That's what your poem is about. It's this stranger talking to stranger, and of course, when I scan through Facebook, I hardly make any entries, but I read what other people are saying. And there's political vitriol and fabulous vacation pictures and perfect families and mm-hmm. all the things that people display. And I find it endlessly interesting in a voyeur kind of way. But I don't put much input into that. But technology is where we are. It's overwhelming advantages, you know, in having this technology. So I'm not putting it down. But like your poem, I'm wondering what the impact of that is. And Susan was talking about no longer getting greeting cards.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's something that really has diminished because, you know, that's another way of communication that's personal. If you have a handwritten letter or something that's your product of your mind and your hand, we're diminishing communication in that way, too. It's the same text as you read on the Internet, and that's your Christmas card to somebody.
Yeah. People just send masses of the same exact Christmas card on to all their friends. There's no personal communication often.
That's interesting because when that started to happen, this is years ago, and I don't get Christmas cards, quite frankly, because for a couple of years in a row, I haven't responded to any Christmas cards. When I get a Christmas card, it's, oh, this person's still, and I'm just happy to open it up and find a printed letter in there because somebody cares. And actually, I have one friend whose Christmas letters were an art form. I mean, she start writing her Christmas letter in summer. In fact, I remember.
Oh, wow. She beats me.
and there's some that, you know, I want to keep because they're so good. It's like a little manuscript that you have to compose. And, you know, you self-publish it and your friends read it. And
yeah.
But, of course, just envelopes with stamps on them are now such a small part of the mail or stamps that don't have little coins in them that say, you know, this nickel will do something wonderful if you put some more with it and send it back to us. There's so many gimmicks. This is going to be quadruple matched if you give this money before the end of the year or before.
Susan, you're saying that there are more pleas for money than there are Christmas cards.
By 10 times.
Yeah.
I'm not exaggerating. 10 times.
But you see, when I get a Christmas card, somebody actually wrote a note to me personally. They licked the envelope and put the stamp on it. They went to the post office. They went through this to give me that little missive in the mail.
Yes.
Hey.
And I really appreciate that. The cows back on our farm always says, if you lick it, you care. Well,
oh
that's
gosh.
Probably true of envelopes, too.
That'd be a really wet lick for a cow.
Yeah, if a cow licked an envelope, I think
it'd
stick forever.
Yeah, it'd be like totally soaked.
It might stick to the postman.
Speaking of that, I like to keep the postman employed. And I used to be like the Hallmark girl. I was really upset when they started closing the Hallmark stores because I would get my cards in September. And I like to practice my calligraphy and be all fancy. And I really like to give a personal message each person. And I even find little sayings that I'll slip in their cards. And I've had a lot of friends wait for my cards every year. And I know last year I was in the hospital, so I didn't get out that many. And I kept checking my mailbox this year so far. And every single day, like, I haven't had a card yet,
but I've
sent out about 20. But I liked that, and I don't like that they might raise the postage stamp. It might hinder me, but I try my best
to
do that because I don't like those. I'll send out email or Facebook cards to the people I can't reach because another thing that's happened is with technology, everybody's changing their phone numbers.
Yeah, that's true.
And their addresses, so it's harder. Even though Google tracks us, it's still harder to get people.
Very much so. But we still have
address.
Hallmark people. And we have a Hallmark girl right here, our own Maggie Westfold,
with
her points to ponder.
Thank you. I don't know about that Hallmark girl.
Susan has something to say.
I have a lovely counter to this bashing technology because I think we have... Okay. It won't take long, but about 25 years ago, maybe longer, we sold our small boat to a man, and we, you know, communicated not maybe once or twice. And it was a birthday present to his 12-year-old son. And it was a boat that we had built ourselves. And, you know, I don't have any idea where he is, but suddenly in Messenger, I got a letter from his son, a long letter saying, "You may not remember the 12-year-old boy that got your boat, but now I have children, and I want to build a boat like that for them." Oh. And where can we get the plans? And we've corresponded since. The only way he could possibly have found us was on
technology.
See, that's the great thing. People from our past can make contact with us. That's the very positive thing about that. It's not to be overlooked. But we're not overlooking Maggie either. She has her points to ponder.
I'm here. Thank you. And hello, KHOI listeners. This is interesting that without knowing what the programming is going to be today, I think my ponderings will sort of tie in. They were triggered by my having computer problems several months back. Don't we all just love untimely gremlins who take over our laptops, our phones, our tablets? Inevitably, these glitches occur the day of some important contact we need to maintain by way of one of our devices. The worst of such problems will completely shut us down, present a scary blue screen, even a black one, refusing to perform whether we like it or not. In my case, everything seemed hunky-dory except my cursor would not respond to so much as one finger stroke. These occurrences prompt thoughts of utter frustration at how dependent we are on our devices. How did we ever live before technology took over? I asked my first line of defense, also known as my husband Steve, to help. He tried but had no luck, so after calling to be sure that my drive down South Duff was worth my time and trouble, on down the street I went, laptop under my arm, where computer geeks hang out for pay. They're nice guys and gals, but they speak a language that's beyond me. My favorites among them are those who smile and respond helpfully when I say, "I have a problem with my laptop, and I'd like to talk to someone who can explain technology at a level I can comprehend." Some are quite understanding. They can downshift to somewhat simplistic technological terms that even I can sort of keep up with. If you're a lucky duck that day, the fix may be simple. Not typically, though. For example, that last time, my laptop, only 4 months old, had to be shipped to the maker's repair shop for nearly a month, way out east somewhere, to have a new motherboard installed. I was not impressed. The word motherboard I do understand, and I wasn't happy to hear it, but what does a person do but punt? In my case, that meant operating off my phone and bothering my husband to use his desktop now and then. Certain matters of communication need dealing with. The troublesome time, though, with that computer got me to thinking, who all do I depend on day to day to be there when I need them for whatever facet of my life to keep me going? It struck me that these folks and their services, the way they fill in a need in my life, they're akin to paying an attorney a retainer fee. A retainer, according to Merriam-Webster, is a person owing service to a household, someone we have claim on for services. I've been pretty lucky in life, though, thus far, to not have to go that lawyer route other than for our wills. But think about it, folks. Who all do you depend on to be there? It became somewhat mind-boggling as I thought about it. The most important to me are not those that I pay money to, actually. Whatever spiritual belief you adhere to, you may be similar to me in depending on God or a higher power. I find myself quite often reminding myself to first express gratitude for that most recent prayer answered before I ask for help once again. The list never seems to end. My church is there for me. Belonging to a church congregation is a personal choice. That's as it should be. I have respect and admiration for those who keep churches going day to day. Whether we choose to belong or not, having the choice is a blessing in the lives of many, me included. In my personal life, I depend on my husband and my two children and families for lots of love and support, and they don't ask for much in return beyond my own love and support and a listening ear. I tell them it's my job, no thanks needed, but that's just my silly way of saying I wouldn't have it any other way. Extended family members are important to me. The more I age and the more family members we lose, the more I value those who remain. Whether random conversations or for those enjoyable annual reunions, we depend on one another. We have history together. I depend on good friends who are there for me. No matter how infrequently I see or hear from some, I have friends I see nearly every week or talk to often. Then there are those I can reconnect with after a year or more, and it's like we had just talked. They're all important to me emotionally. The daily delivery of mail to our mailbox right outside the front door is something we absolutely should not take for granted. Newspaper delivery is another convenience we depend on, and the trash collector who comes weekly and takes away that stuff we don't need anymore. There are more retail stores, real and online, than I can count who are there when I need them. You figure out their importance in your daily life when you need an item that only one particular brick-and-mortar store offers, and it's after hours. I'm sure you've heard the term insurance poor. One look at the tally of our insurance premiums is enough to make me choke. But we really do need those folks on retainer for our homes, cars, campers. Then comes health insurance, dental insurance. There are also license fees for vehicles. It's a lot, but just try to do without it. No thank you. After back surgery a few years ago, I owed the hospital $2. I am grateful to be able to pay the premiums. I started jotting down other needs and services on retainer, so to speak, in my life. My goodness, cell phone, internet, cable TV, then there's the fee for identity theft protection. I used to wonder if we needed that one until we went through an experience a few years back when someone in Arizona had gotten our debit card information and shared it with some sorry soul in St. Louis, Missouri. The first guy in Arizona spent 60 cents at the gas pump to confirm that it worked, and within an hour, his buddy in St. Louis proceeded to get $500 cash from a bank before attempting to buy a pricey game at a big gaming store. That's when we were contacted, asking if those were our transactions. No, we did not try to buy a pricey fantasy game. I do want identity theft protection on retainer, much as I hate the fact that I need them. The natural gas from my furnace is on retainer, as is my electricity, so when I flip the switch, the lights come on. That wine I keep in the fridge alongside that bag of dark chocolates, they're both truthfully there on retainer, folks, for that time of day, whether afternoon or evening, when I feel a need to soothe my soul, sit down, relax, tell myself it's all going to work out okay in the end. If it's not okay right now, it's not the end. Who said that? Was that another philosophy from John Lennon? It doesn't really matter who said it. What matters is that I remember to keep myself in good stead with all who are important in my life. All people, services, things I need on retainer 24/7. So I can relax knowing the one I will need will be there for me, will step forward and fill whatever earthly need has reared its head. My, what a thought-provoking mental exercise a computer problem prompted for me. I'd like to say I'll not be taking anyone or anything for granted ever again after thinking this all through. But being as human as the next person, I'll probably do something like fix that next pot of chili, let it simmer on the back burner while I take a run down to my favorite bakery to pick up some of their yummy corn muffins. Oh no, the store is closed. But the folks, when I turn on my car radio, there's my favorite radio station, 89.1 FM, KHOI Radio, Community Radio, always there for me, providing a great mix of music and a myriad of other fun, interesting, and educational programming 24/7 with no advertising. And though our official fundraising period is past, we can still use your help, so do what you can, please, to help KHOI stay on the air. We appreciate any and all contributions, and we'd love to have you visit us at 410 Douglas, the Pantorium Building. And thank you for listening.
Well, now, Maggie, I like that whole idea. All the people we have on retainer and all the services we have on retainer that are there, we pay a fee for that, but we also have that security, as you pointed out.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
And here at KHOI, we're on retainer, too, as you pointed out, because we're here on your dial for whether you're in the car or on your computer or wherever you are, KHOI is there. And we are on retainer in that you can help us pay our expenses here and keep us alive. And we're not billing you all the time, okay? So we depend on your largesse, support, and love. And you can donate here at our website, khoifm.org. Press the yellow donate button. And I think this has been a very edifying hour today because we've talked about technology. We've talked about how that impacts us. We've talked about how that is a two-edged sword, how that unites us and also divides us and distances us. And so I think that's the great conundrum of the coming years. And I won't live long enough to see what children today who've grown up with that technology make of it. But I hope that the pendulum swings back a little more toward human relationships and tangibility.
Yes.
Indeed. I just talk to them, whether they have earbuds or not. And they'll see my mouth moving and eventually unconnect to those earbuds. I'm used to the college because they're really great once they unconnect. But if you talk to them, they will look at you for a while and they'll eventually unplug.
Well, in my day, earbuds were termed as tumors, you know.
I'm still interested in that.
They were threatening medical events.
What is that?
Well, go ahead, Susan. We're closing out today.
This is KHOI Community Radio 89.1 FM, where we explore the people, stories, and events in our listening area in central Iowa. Paul Wearson and I have been exploring the theme of how certain technologies make new things possible, especially at KHOI. But the rapid changes of the 21st century make some aspects of the holidays more hectic and less rewarding. Other voices who chimed in on that topic were Cynthia McClure, Evan Taylor, Joy B., and Maggie Westfold.
You can listen to today's local talk show and any of our past local talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. There you will find information about our guests along with relevant links to today's stories. Now that's khoifm.org. There are also rebroadcasts of this morning's show at noon and at 7 p.m.
Local Talk was engineered by Ala Dean. Our theme song is Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Other music you heard was Missa Criolla by the Hoekstra Kamerkoor.
Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a show, so if you would like to join us, join our team as a reporter, contact us at 515-292-2878 or contact us through our website, khoifm.org. That's also where you need to go to contact us if you decide to become a member or renew your membership. Just look for the yellow donate button.
If you enjoy the show, tell your friends. Remember, your participation as listener and your generous contributions are what make KHOI possible. Thanks for listening, and
see you again on the radio.
KHOI is funded in part by the Ames Chamber of Commerce. We encourage you to shop local this holiday season. You can support Ames' growth while enjoying a wide array of local shopping and dining experiences that Ames independent businesses have to offer. From the Ames Chamber of Commerce, happy holidays! Let's shop local and grow Ames.